Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Parents, welcome to another episode of the Wonder Parenting Podcast, a brain science approach to parenting. Tim Wright here along with Dr. Michael Gurian. And today we are asking the question, how do I know when therapy might be good for my child? And we've talked over and over in this podcast about different aspects of therapy and when should someone seek a therapist. And so we've got a question today that deals specifically with this. Before we talk about it, Michael, tell us a little bit about your Substack adventure.
Yes, my best writing is coming out now on Substack. And so if people go to wonderofparenting.com and you'll see a link there to my Substack, you can sign up and become one of the people who gets that writing. And then, or you can go to michaelgurian.substack.com directly. You can end up in the same place and sign up. This is where, as people may know, and I published 35 books, right, with publishers, and I really believe in that. At the same time, something like Substack exists so that I can write directly to my people.
Yep.
And, you know, the people who are interested in what I'm writing about. And so people sign up for that. So I've got a number of people already signed up, and I hope more will sign up so that that keeps going and I can keep writing for you guys. And then you guys can interact. You can read it, and then you can interact with me. And I really like that. And that's something that when you publish a book, you often don't get. But with Substack, right, I can get the interactions with you all. So just go to michaelgurian.substack.com. Or go to wonderofparenting.com and link from there. And please sign up. I'd love to have you as one of my readers.
People will have the opportunity to interact with New York Times bestselling author, Michael Gurian. Now, who would say no to that? Who would say no to that?
He always does this to me when we do speeches together or conferences together. He always makes fun of me for being a New York Times bestselling author. He's humbling me, and I love it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, especially those of us who are struggling artists, book writers, and the only thing we get from the New York Times is a subscription notice, right? So, but there's good stuff on Substack. So it's michaelgurian.substack.com. And also want to thank Dr. Marion Hill, Man Cave, for their sponsorship of our program that helps us bring it to you every week for free. And men all need to be caring, actively engaged, vested, and encouraged, a program designed to engage fathers with an intentional focus on family outcomes and child development. You can go to the website, Man Cave, and just do a Google search and you can find them there, or more information on wonderofparenting.com. That's wonderofparenting.com. So here's the question. When there hasn't been any traumatic experiences, when do you or would you make the call to sign your child up with a cognitive behavior therapist? My son is 8. And I don't think he's abnormal for his age and his reactions and attitudes towards things kids of that age deal with. But I'm wondering if therapy would help him handle life more positively. He seems to be a more negative, complaining type person by nature. My husband is this way too, and they are similar in this. When anything doesn't go my son's way, like anything, he throws a fit, at least with us. He doesn't do this at school. So there's some layers there. And these are things that we have covered in other podcasts, but it's nice to sort of bring it all together into this one. So initial thoughts, Michael, as you read this.
Yeah, this is so great that she says, and the dad's that way too, because of course, of course, one of the things is that this stuff is genetic. So as you see, by the time a child is 8 years old, right, we're starting to see that personality type. We're starting to see things, and she's seeing something, and it's passed down. You know, I mean, we all carry something from our parents. And so one neat thing about seeing that is that the dad can be an asset, you know, like since they've identified this, that the dad hopefully can keep saying to this child, hey, you know, I was like this, you know, I always saw the negative. I was complaining a lot. And, you know, what I've had to learn is, right, and to be a messenger of how the dad had to move through this personality type, and what we call in the big five temperaments, a little more on the neurotic, let's say, and how the dad had to learn. And so if the dad ever went to therapy, that would be sweet. If so, then the dad can help advocate for the son to get into some counseling, or the daughter, because this could happen to everyone. If not, okay, you know, we table that, but it would be neat if he ever got counseling for him to be an asset. And so to her point, like for me as I'm a mental health counselor, right? A therapist. I mean, I always think it's great for everyone to be in counseling. So I'm biased. At eight, to put an 8 year old into counseling, we got to really make sure that that counselor knows what to do with 8 year olds, and that counselor knows to do what to do with 8 year old boys. And that's big. That's really big, because if the counselor could be a cognitive behavioral therapist, which is what she has heard about that somewhere, right? And and that's a really good modality. However, if this person is a cognitive behavioral therapist and is setting up a clinical practice where the kid's going to come in mainly and talk, which is a lot of what, you know, CBT is, then that just may not work for an 8 year old boy. And so she has to look at that. They have to look at that. And so the modality, what we would want to see for a counselor, any counselor for an 8 year old boy, is there's going to be physical movement. They're going to go on walks with this guy. They're going to have arts and crafts and sandpaper art and all sorts of other ways, graphics, drawing. They're going to have other ways to get at what's going on in his brain, you know, not just sitting and talking. And they're going to like maybe throw balls back and forth. In other words, they're going to have spatial objects. They're going to have talking sticks. They're going to have other objects. They're going to be used to help trigger his brain to be able to verbally process, you know, what's going on or has been going on for him. So I would say really look at how that person does a clinical practice, especially for this. And then she mentions the trauma. Okay, my kid has not had trauma. When is it a good time? Well, yeah, it is often trauma that brings people in, but people like me and Gail, who was a therapist, you know, we're not only seeing people because there's been trauma. It's okay for kids to go through counseling to work through an issue like this, which is he's really negative. And at home, so at school, he's not like throwing the tantrums, right? He's not throwing a fit, as she says. But at home, he feels safe, which is in a way a good thing. You know, oh, how neat that he feels safe at home. He knows his parents unconditionally love him. Whereas at the school, if he throws a fit, there's a certain shame, right? Which, by the way, is appropriate. I mean, it's good that he's not throwing fits at school. Right. But he does them at home. And so part of what could take him into therapy is the parent saying, you know, you're like, really, this is happening a lot. And we're not doing anything wrong with you, right? You're just throwing these fits. They're going to use different words at home. Let's talk to a counselor about it. You know, so that can actually become the wedge issue that brings him into counseling and that maybe convinces him he ought to go, especially if the counselor is boy friendly, because then it can be, okay, we're having this issue and you're kind of negative and, you know, and you're complaining a lot and we want to get you help with that. And this would be a really fun place for you to go. This counselor's fun. You know, to put it that way,
yeah, right.
So that it's not this counselor is just pure work and is going to make me suffer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, as adults, we have life coaches that's kind of become the thing over the last several years, which makes a lot of sense. Just somebody who's going to help you sort of manage life. It'd be great if we had more of that for our kids to just go in and learn how to handle life a little better. I want to come back, though, and ask you a little bit. We're going to dig deeper into this, but I want to ask you about stigma that comes with a kid being in counseling. And so we're going to be back in just a moment. You're listening to the Wonder Parenting Podcast, a brain science approach to parenting.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
So, Michael, you've got an 8-year-old boy, and he's got to go to counseling because something's wrong with him. How does he deal with that stigma in school and with his friends?
Yeah, because the stigma does exist out there, I would say, you know, don't be telling people about it. You know, at 8 years old, with his 8-year-old friends, they can't really understand. Mm-hmm. Or many of them can't. Some can, but many of them can't. So unless his family is in a community where there is a lot of counseling, like there are certain parts of LA or New York, or, you know, people joke about it, but it's true. There are certain mm-hmm. regions of the country where a lot more kids are in counseling.
Yeah.
And people are more used to it. Okay. So there, you know, no problem. But if we're in a part of the world where there would be stigma, then I would just keep it to himself and the parents keep it to themselves, and just so that it takes hold, you know, and goes on for a few months, and then, you know, in a positive way, if it is positive, and then maybe start talking to other people about it, because then one is talking to other people about it more as an evangelist, you know, more yeah. as in, hey, wow, you know, other parents, look at how my kid is being helped by this person. And then you can be talking positively about it. And then that can, you know, make up for the stigma part a bit. But initially, if there's going to be stigma, keep it private.
And how do parents approach, say, this 8-year-old boy to say, we think counseling would be good for you, without him feeling like there's something terribly wrong with him or he's flawed?
Yeah, I think we have to do it in kind of in the way you said it, like show him what a coach does in sports. Let's say mm-hmm. he plays sports, or what does his music teacher do if he's in band? What is his art teacher doing? So do it more as in, this person is coaching you. This person is going to coach you. Yep. And it's the same here. You tend to be sort of negative and you're complaining a lot, and you're having these, you know, these temper tantrums or whatever it ends up being at home. And, you know, you could get help for that. You could get someone who coaches you on how to better handle things. And so put it to the kid that way.
Yeah. What would you, you know, I think what I hear you saying, and I agree with this, that counseling is just good, period. Even if you don't have a problem, counseling is just good for you. You've got another voice to listen to. You learn some life skills. Are there some things, if you saw them in your child, you would say, yeah, right now, got to find a counselor? What are some of those behavioral things?
Okay. And let me do it. I want to say something about the first thing you said, and mm-hmm. then go forward to the second thing. I think it all counseling is good, that we go into it in that way, except for counseling that is not set up well for yeah. this child's brain, and counseling that is going to take him into an adversarial relationship with his parents.
Yeah.
You know, I think we have to be very careful and get some word of mouth on counselors to make sure that the counselor is not one of those counselors that's going to go, okay, your parents are all messed up, your family's all messed up. Yeah. You've been, you know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, there are some counselors out yep. there. And so, yep. so I do think counseling is basically a good thing, but I wanted to give
Yeah.
You know, those caveats.
And I'm going to circle back to that and ask, how do you find a counselor? But let's talk a little bit about.
Okay. All right. So then the second one. Yeah. How do you know you need one? If your kid is, is your kid isolating? Okay. Then that means your child's probably depressed. So certainly if the child has any sort of disorder, is your child suddenly the last 3 months or 6 months or whatever it is getting hyper anxious, having anxiety in his tummy or her tummy all the time, you know, et cetera. Okay. Then there's probably been some trauma. Something's gone on. We need counseling. Has your child just disclosed to you a trauma, a past trauma, or do you know that the child had past trauma? Counseling. Is the family going through a divorce, and is the divorce acrimonious? I mean, just the divorce itself creates trauma. It does. So it's enough for wanting to child in counseling, but especially acrimonious if the parents are fighting and so on and tearing the kid apart and so on, then absolutely counseling, right? So if there's been a baseline of trauma, counseling. If your child has any kind of disorder that's been identified, then, you know, probably counseling. And then if there's been a big external change like divorce or even moving, the child keeps moving to a new environment every year, that can be an external trauma. So maybe put the kid into counseling in the new place that he or she goes. Those would be the main things to look at.
So let's talk a little bit about that. How do you find a decent counselor?
Okay, so a lot of finding the good counselor for your child is word of mouth. So you're talking to other parents in the community who have their kids in counseling, or have had. The child was in counseling for 6 months, for a year, and have had. So the first thing is to do the search in your community and just keep bringing it up, like at PTA, or bringing it up at the baby shower, or, you know what I mean? Like, just keep bringing it up, call your friends, do a search locally through people you trust, through your church, through your synagogue, you know. I mean, I'll give an example. So I'm part of a synagogue, and we have a number of therapists in our synagogue who happen to be members, including myself and my wife, right, who are members of the synagogue. And people will often ask, you know, they're doing a search through the synagogue, you know, and they'll ask, like, who would be the right one? And even though we're all part of the same synagogue, you know, I'm still going to answer them based on the word of mouth about that counselor. So how great that our synagogue has a number of counselors, and you can still do word of mouth to check with that. Is that one good with 8-year-olds? Is that one good with 12-year-olds, you know, 15-year-olds? So go into that community that already exists, like church, synagogue, that structure, and then go to the counselor at school and do a search through the counselor at school and through the other teachers. You know, you can do this privately, right? But just ask them, hey, so, you know, my 8-year-old, my 10-year-old, I'm thinking about counseling. Who do you know out there? And they're LinkedIn, you know, they know people and they know who has helped kids and who has not from a counselor point of view. So for me, a lot of it is solved by the word of mouth. Okay. And then they find who the right one is. But let's say they don't have that availability, or let's say that person is already booked up and they can't get their kid in for that counselor. So you can then go onto websites and you can search locally, and you know, you're doing a search for counselors in, like for you, it's Phoenix, for me, it's Spokane. So counselors in that city, counselors who specialize on kids, you know, specialize with kids, counselors who specialize with boys, with girls, and so then you got to do a Google search, and then you got to start making calls and got to spend some time on the Google search, because the first 10 things that show up, those people could have paid for the search engine optimization. It doesn't really mean they're the best. They might be, but they might not. So you got to kind of do the searching and calling around and seeing who has space. And then you're asking them the questions. So if you get a receptionist, you ask the receptionist if there's a larger agency. If it's an individual, then you're asking the individual, how do you do the counseling? You know, do you work a lot with boys? Have you noticed issues boys are having in particular that you're helping them with, or girls? Do you work a lot with girls? Right. And so it's going to take, it takes a while, and it's not going to probably happen right away, especially if you don't get the word of mouth help. You're going to keep calling. They're going to not call her back, her, the mom or the dad back. That happens quite a bit. You have to call again because everyone's really full and there's a counselor shortage. So you keep calling, be persistent. And then just say, if you don't have availability, please send me to this email who you think would fit this profile, and give them the profile, you know, this is my child. Here are the issues. And then just keep pinging them, you know, until they respond. And then keep moving to the next one.
So we'll be back in just a moment. I've got a couple more questions for Michael about choosing a therapist for your child. You're listening to the Wonder Parenting Podcast, A Brain Science Approach to Parenting.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Michael, I've got two questions left for you. The first is, how long do you see a therapist or have your child see a therapist before you pull the plug because you know it's not working? Because it could be the best therapist in town and it may still not be a great fit. Mm-hmm. So for you as a therapist, for example, how many sessions do you think it takes before you know if this is going to work?
Oh, I think it only takes a few.
Okay.
Especially for kids, because the parents are going to know, like, so we're going to see if some things are happening in these sessions. So when I say a few, let's say 4 to 6, to at least say, should we continue, you know, because some things are going to happen. So one is, you're going to be able to tell as parents, what role are the parents going to play in the counseling? Is the counseling going to be family counseling? Or does the counselor just talk to the parents, you know, for 5 minutes and then just working with the kid? Okay, that can be good. But sometimes we as parents are going to go, I don't know. You know, don't we kind of have a family dynamic going on here? And don't we sort of need some family counseling too? You know, so we're going to know that within 4 to 6 sessions if there is any family counseling going on. We're also going to be able to see within a few sessions if this person actually does work well with that age group and that sex. And we should be able to see that within 4 to 6 weeks, at the most 2 months, because I'm assuming once a week counseling, I'm assuming they're going once a week. So then you've got somewhere between 4 and 8 or 4 to 6 sessions. And then of course you're checking in with your child and you're seeing, okay, is my child getting help? Is this helping my child? Is it hurting my child? Is it hurting my relationship with my child? If it's hurting, then we're pulling the plug. If it's helping, then we're saying, okay, now let's invest in, you know, 3 to 6 months. And then, you know, by the time we get into the 6 month range, depending on what the issues were, that's a time when people start saying, you know, and money is going to matter. Like, is there insurance? The four to six weeks always also matters if there isn't insurance, if the parents are paying out of pocket, you know, that's very hard. So, but if there's insurance, then, you know, I would try to ascertain at 6 weeks and then go to 6 months. And that's pretty common then for people to start saying, okay, you know, we've given it 6 months. And by then the child might start not wanting to go anymore.
Right.
You know, and is putting pressure there, or the parents are like, is it worth the money? Or, you know, that's when you start, but we definitely want to give it time.
Yes.
So unless it's doing something negative immediately, you see something really negative immediately, give it the 6 weeks. And then if possible, give it the 6 months.
So you kind of touched on my second question, and that was the role of parents when our children are going through counseling. And part of it is to see if you should be in the counseling together. But let's assume for sake of discussion that you don't really feel like you need to be in the room. Your son is going to counseling for 4 weeks, 5 weeks. What role do you play throughout the weekend between the two counseling sessions? How do you help sort of support your son and what he's learning?
Yeah. So there's two answers to that, depending on how the counseling goes and what the needs are. If it's family counseling, So if a good portion of it's family counseling, then the parents are quite involved in terms right. of resetting the system and helping the boy to reset and girl, you know, child to reset the system. This applies to trans and gender nonconforming. Any child who's in counseling, the system is getting some reset based on the family systems counseling and the attachment counseling and all of that that's going on. And if that's what's needed, then the child probably doesn't need a lot of solo sessions. A lot of what's going to be needed is this, like divorce, you know, divorce systems, right? And what's going on there? It's going to need to be family counseling.
Right.
Right. Okay. So the first answer is if family systems reorientation is needed, then the family's going to be very involved. And there are going to be discussions between counseling sessions among family members, you know, that are growing from the topics and right. the quote unquote homework going on in the, okay. And we should, and I think for 8 years old, for 10 year olds, we need to have a lot of family counseling.
Okay.
Like an 8 year old who goes into counseling, the family's never involved. And for 6 months just has a session every week with a counselor without family involvement. I'm not a fan of it.
Right.
Except if, only if one of the parents has been abusing the child or mm-hmm. there's some of that going on. Okay. Then of course we don't want the parents involved there, but for the younger kids, I would like to see more family systems that are involved. But for the sessions that the child is having alone, of which even if it's family systems counseling, there may be some of those sessions. Then the child has the, and the counselor has the ability to say, I'm not going to talk about that with you. And as long as not too much of that is going on, we're okay. Now, again, if there's been abuse, if the parents are doing something that's abusive and all that, then it's appropriate for the child, you know, it could be appropriate for the child not to share. But in a system like this, like our question, where the family system is solid, you know, mm-hmm. and where the child is going in to work on something like the negativity and complaining, the parents should be involved. And there should be a lot of conversation. And to me, as a counselor, it's okay for the parents and the child to talk about, well, what happened in counseling today, mm-hmm. you know, and then and the child can share or not share. But if the child shares and says, well, we talked about that, maybe I get overstimulated and I need to, when I'm about to have a tantrum, what I actually need to do is I need to go away from you guys. I need to go to my room for 10 minutes. And not try to talk to you guys, right? So he's learning a skill mm-hmm. in the counseling, and then that should be brought up with the parents. And then there can be other things that are private, like let's say at 8 years old, he's having, you know, some question about something, and the counselor gave him good advice about that. Well, okay, he got good advice, you know. But on the other hand, if at 8 years old, he says to the counselor, you know, I think I'm gender nonconforming, okay, mm-hmm. now, in my opinion, the parents have to get reinvolved, and the counselor has to be saying to the parents, okay, I learned about, this is what I learned from him, you know, and each state has laws. And so it's really important for the child to have signed a release. And the parents have to make sure the child signs a release so that the counselor can talk to the parents about what goes on in counseling. And in most states, 13 is the age. But I think it's good for any kid of any age yeah. to sign the release so that the parents can be involved, because we are seeing a lot of things happen, specifically around the gender nonconforming, for instance, where counselors are being told this and then they're pushing kids in a direction mm-hmm. and the parents are cut out. I don't think that's a good idea either. So right. you can see that I'm basically saying two things at once. For this age group, family counseling is probably more of what we need anyway. And also for the solo sessions, if needed, let's get the parents involved. Because at 8, now at 15, okay, that's different than at 8, right? 18 is different than at 8. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. You know, both of my kids, when they were little, we had them in therapy for different things. And it was just important for me as a parent to know I'm their parent. I want to know what's going on. And you know, if there are some things where the counselor says, you know what, he's or she's working on this And when she's ready, he's ready. He'll tell you about it. But still, I want to know what's going on. You're right. I'm the parent. And so it's important for me to know what that counselor is directing, what that counselor is saying, because it may or may not be in conformity or in line with what we as a family value. So while counseling is really important, I think it's helpful to sort of know what are my responsibilities as a parent? What are my rights as a parent in terms of knowing what's going on in that counseling session?
Yeah, it's the parents who are primarily responsible for the best interests of the child.
Yep.
The parents are primarily responsible. And the counselor is a very valuable add-on, very valuable. And the parents are still primarily responsible.
Yep.
So for me as a counselor who did adolescent counseling, you know, I didn't do eight-year-olds. I did adolescents and older. I wanted the parents involved.
Mm-hmm.
And only as the kids got to be, you know, high school, mid-later adolescence, where, you know, I would be, you know, it was just very clear that this is a private conversation and we don't need the parents involved. This child's 17, you know, so
right.
A young adult. But when they're younger, yeah, the parents are the best responsible for the best interest of the child. And the counselor needs to be an add-on to that. Only if the parents are clearly not acting in the best interest of the child, like abuse, to me, does the counselor start asserting territory and start saying, okay, we got to have this boundary. But the parents still have the right to take the child out of counseling.
Right.
You know?
Always.
And yeah. Always. I mean, they still have that right.
Yeah.
I would just say to the parents, if you've got a counselor who's asserting this, you know, before taking the child out of counseling, look at yourself and do a family session, you know, and see what this is about.
Yeah.
Could the counselor be right that you as parents are doing something that is not in the best interest of the child, and go into counseling and be part of the process? But then if after going into that family systems counseling, where it's all laid out, where the counselor says that thing I think you're doing is not in the best interest of this child, like you're being way too harsh with this child and this child is too sensitive, you know, that's an example of one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get that out in counseling and work with it. But, you know, if 2 or 3 weeks later, the parents think that it's not in the best interest of the child to be in counseling, then the parents can take the child out.
Yeah. It's really important stuff. And this has been really helpful. So for parents, and I know a lot of parents are kind of wrestling with that whole issue. So I hope this has been helpful for you. If it has been, let some other friends know. Share the podcast with your friends and your parent friends. And you've been listening to the Wonder of Parenting podcast, A Brain Science Approach to Parenting. You can find more on wonderofparenting.com or on our Facebook page. Just do a quick search of Wonder of Parenting and join the conversation. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.